We can turn to 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, specifically looking at the 15th verse. You guys, excuse me for one moment, brother. I'm going to do something real quick. This here is... You know, I don't have my glasses. Can I take this down? Can I take this? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Makes it easier for me to read. Okay. Book of 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, 15 verse, it says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you this morning, and I praise you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you that you would give us a glorious gospel. Thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his willingness to lay down his life. Lord, I thank you that you have given us this day and this time that we can come together. Father, I need your help this morning. I ask that you would help me, Lord, that you would fill me with your spirit. And Father, remember my brother Tim as he begins to preach today there in Denton, Lord, fill him with your spirit and with power. Lord, I ask that you would soften hearts here this morning and open blind eyes, Lord. Call men out of darkness into your marvelous light. Pray this in all things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. I have a title. There's a message this morning. And it's going to be, Sinner, Christ Jesus came to save you. With an emphasis on, Christ Jesus came to save you. One of the things I like to say a lot, and it kind of encourages me when I'm going out to share the word or just when I think about my life, is that if you're a sinner, you qualify to be saved. That's astonishing to me when I think about that. What hope we have in Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So I was thinking on this. There were a few questions that came to my mind. And I was thinking there might be a few questions that may come on some of you guys' minds. And I written down about five of them. And one of the questions was based off of the title, Who Are You That Needs to Be Saved? Another one is, Why Do I Need to Be Saved? Another one is, Who Is the Savior? When Do I Need to Be Saved? And as my brother touched on a little earlier, what must I do to be saved? So let's look at briefly, who are the you that needs to be saved? If we can briefly just turn real quickly to Isaiah 45:22. I The Lord says in the book of Isaiah, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Who or what are you looking unto to be saved? Maybe it's your parents. If you go up just one verse in that same book, the Lord says in the latter part of that verse, there's no other God beside me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. And sometimes I think about parents. We look here, there's a lot of children here, and not just small children. There are many children. And they grow up with godly parents, and they begin to think that because of their parents that they're the one that saves them. Some people may look into their education and they may feel like, well, if I just get a degree, and they get that degree, and if they feel like if I could just get another degree. And so they begin to look at these things in life is that getting to that end. I know I went to school, and there's a lot of guys and ladies here that went to school and received their education, and they begin to set forth this life plan of all of these things that they're going to do. And as my brother was mentioning earlier, it's like an idol. And they begin to think that these things in and of themselves is going to satisfy. It could be your good deeds. The book of Isaiah 64:6 says, all of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Maybe coming here today, we know this day is Easter. A lot of people decide, okay, it's Easter, it'll be a good time to go to church today. You know, they got this thing in the food industry, they call it it's like a bucket list, like something I need to do. It's maybe a kind of important, and they've got this big old list. And at this part of the year, Easter's on that list, and so it's Easter Sunday, go to church, check out my bucket list. Some, this very hour, is looking to Mary to save them. And the question is, who are you that needs to be saved? If any of these things describe you, if you're looking to anything outside of Christ, the you is you. If you turn with me, this, we're going to have a lot of scripture because I just believe the Lord is the best teacher. The Spirit, he teaches us. So if we would turn to Mark, the second chapter, 15 through 17. You guys have to forgive me. I lost my glasses, so it just takes a few minutes for my eyes to focus on the text. So sorry about that. Okay. I'm going to start from, looks like this is 14. It says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, and there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." So we know that if you're a sinner, it's you that need to be saved. The good news is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You may be asking, why do I need to be saved? You're a sinner. You say, "I'm a sinner. Why do I need to be saved?" In the book of Romans, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 to 12, you don't have to turn there. The Bible just tells us that none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So to you, which includes actually everybody in here is you. It's just a difference between whether one has submitted his life unto Christ and one has not. One has been born again and one has not. And in this actual message, we're speaking to those, and it's being set forth to those that are not in Christ, that are lost, that are dead in their trespasses and sin, that are sinners. And when I say sinners, I mean one who fails to meet God's standard, one who's missed the mark of God's righteous law that he lifts up before man, that man can't keep in and of themselves. Guilty. A sinner is a slave of sin, according to the Lord and his word in the book of John, the 8th chapter, 34th verse. "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." Men, women, boys, and girls need to be saved. Because one thing we know for sure, according to God's word, that men are born in iniquity. And not only are men born and shaped in iniquity, but men actually sin. And they sin against a God who is holy, holy, holy. In the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 6, Paul says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry." And then it says this: "On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming." And there you too once walked. And that, when he said, "And there too you once walked," Paul was speaking to Christians. And so we know one thing for sure. If we look at this, the wrath of God that he's speaking about is to those that are not in Christ. God's wrath is coming. Paul said that that's how you lived when you were lost. And if you're lost, you need to be saved from God's holy wrath, which is coming. You say, why do I need to be saved? You need to be saved because you're on a fast track to hell. Hebrews 9:27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment, man is going to die, and then he's going to stand to be judged by God, by Christ. Jesus spoke about hell a lot. In the book of Matthew, he says, Christ was saying, it's better to lose parts of your body than to be thrown in hell, where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, if I begin right now to go in my pocket and begin to just start throwing cash out, some might begin to laugh and chuckle and think it's nice. Maybe the kids might jump up and try to grab some of it. But I don't think it would be that way if you just was able to get one glimpse of men, women, boys, and girls being thrown into hell. Just be the total opposite of fun. It wouldn't be no joy. The Bible does teach us that the wages of sin is death. But it is good when you realize that you're a sinner and you find yourself in that place that you know that you need a savior. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because there are really a lot of people, I'm pretty sure today, that sits here today, that don't believe that they're in that state. They're blind. You ask, who is the Savior? You will go with me to Matthew, first chapter, verses 20 through 21. Speaking about Joseph. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 29 says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Go to the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, verses 5 through 12. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Ananias the high priest and Sapphias and John and Alexander, and all were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builder, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. So we know by God's word that the Savior is Christ Jesus. And apart from Christ Jesus, there's no salvation. We ask, well, when do I need to be saved? Today. Today you need to be saved. It's not a light matter. It is very, very urgent that you take today seriously. It's not a promise that even before I finish sharing this morning, that you might not die, that I might not die, that some might not die. The Bible teaches us that life is a vapor. James 4:14, for what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You know, you can listen to message after message. One thing that I can say about this church, it's a lot of truth here. And I believe that a lot of people have, you know, I mean, me too. We got people we like to listen to. We got preachers that's more favorable to us. But the reality is, ultimately, today. I was thinking about this, and I was just thinking, in Florida, that bridge just fell. That was it for them. In Vegas, that was it. Even in San Antonio, man's at LA Fitness. It's just a nice little swim in the pool. That's it for him. Today, if I set an hourglass here, and I just let it fall out, at some point, it's not going to be no more sand there. It's going to end. And every single one of us in this building is going to die. And if you have not Christ, it's going to be fearful. You know, It's Easter today. I am very thankful that Jesus Christ is not in that grave. It gives me great hope. But you know what I'm really thankful for? That when I was in my sin, running hard, I had a Bible. I went to church just like this. Easter Sunday, I'd be sitting here. The only difference from that Sunday to now was in my tradition, we went to the mall. We spent money on clothes. We got dressed up. But I sat and I knew not Christ. So I'm thankful that God removed the veils from my eyes and let me see my filth and my need. And my hope today is that you not sleep. I'm not Tim. I thank God I'm not. That's my brother in Christ, and I love him. But one thing I do know for sure, God's wrath is coming. And whether you enjoy Mark Outing up here standing here telling you about Christ and how he relays the message of Christ, doesn't matter. What matters is you realize that today is urgent. So you're saying, you're asking, like the Philippian jailer asked, trembling, what must I do to be saved? Paul's response was, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Man needs to repent. Bible teaches us this repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Got to have a change of mind. There's some weird thinking going on. Some people think that since they came here today, that they're going to be all right with God. Some people think since their parents are Christians, they're going to be all right with God. Some people think God's not that harsh. You know, some of us may have been raised by, I'm just going to call it, somewhat lazy parents or parents that's a little bit laid back. Think about the kid. You're instructing your kids and you're a little bit firm on them. And then maybe they go to grandma's. Grandma think you harsh. And so she's real laxed. The Lord is serious about his word. And in that day, if you haven't reckoned with Christ and that blood has not been applied to you, and if you're not found clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, you will be weeping and gnashing teeth. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Not our parents, not our church attendance, not even our good works. It's a good thing to help the little lady that can't get in her car at the store. It's a good thing to be obedient to your parents, but that is not salvation. Repent and believe the gospel. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Not Jesus Christ and. I was downtown the other day. I had a brief moment. We was parking some cars here on Commerce Street. I have a little restaurant down the street. I had some of my flyers in my bag. And they said, let's run downtown real quick. I said, sure. And I jumped out the car to go downtown, and the Lord said, go get your Bible. I said, oh, let me grab my Bible. I'm finna run without my sword. So I threw my little Bible in my backpack, and boom, we're going downtown. And as we go downtown, it's a little fancy stand. And there's some guys standing there and some ladies standing there, and they got their hands behind their back. They're all over downtown, by the way. They're zealous. And as my brother Bobby said, but it's for the unknown guy. And as we encountered them, they happened to be those that are very, very nice. And they're very, very pleasant. And they're very, very cunning. But you know what? They're on that wide road. And regardless of what you think they look like, they have not Christ. The gospel that they preach is no gospel at all. They think the Trinity is absurd. They think the resurrection, Jesus rising? Know about that. So they're on the road to destruction. And if you go down there right now, they'll probably give you the shirt off their back and feed you and clothe you and teach you about happiness and peace. And they sound very good. But the Bible, God's word is God's word. You need to look into it. You need to take it serious. Little ones, look to Christ and be ye saved. He tells us, at least you come as a little one, you ain't going to be saved. But there's salvation for you. You don't got to wait. You don't got to live your life like I lived mine. You don't have to wreck your life. In all your youth, Jesus Christ on the cross for you. Be ye saved. Look and live. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Who in here, who in this room is going to raise their hands and say, I'm not a sinner. Anybody? I wouldn't raise my hand. I dare to speak in this mic and say I don't sin. He to say he's without sin is a lie. And this is not only for the lost. Because if there's a dear brother and a dear sister that has fallen into sin, we got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The Bible teaches us if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And I plead with you. I mean, I really plead with you that you turn to Christ and live. Because it's not promised. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. 5 minutes is not promised to anyone. My brother just said he lost a family member. Your time is coming. And it's coming fast. This church, I remember it like it was yesterday. The Lord saved me. I'm getting out of prison. I'm at an old church I used to go to, because the only place that I could go, I was on a monitor. And there was only a few places I can go, and one was church, one was work, and that was a dead church. And I began to cry out to the Lord, Lord, please, lead me somewhere. And by God's grace, he allowed me to meet Tim. And I said that for a reason. That was probably almost 10 years ago. You know how many people have died in the last 10 years? You know how many people are going to die within the next 10 years if Christ don't come? This is no joke. This is real. Man live, man die. You either a Christian or you not. You either gonna rise happy in Christ, or you gonna rise. Man, God's wrath. Think about this real briefly. Take a step back from the notes. Just think about this. Jesus Christ, perfect, righteous God in the flesh. No sin. Perfect. And God crushed him. Think about that. A perfect, righteous man, God in the flesh, being crushed. And you think God won't wreck with you? Repent, repent, repent. God's wrath is coming. Today is the day of salvation. Today, don't take it light. Don't take it light. Today is the day of salvation. And listen, that's love. That's love. God willing to come for sinful man and save him? Come on, man, who does that? Who does that? Who makes an enemy their friend? Who does it? Love, willing to come and lay down his life for me, for you, and you reject it? You try to offer up, like my brother says, idols, your good works. Why? Why work for that which satisfies not? Why drink from a broken sister? It doesn't satisfy. Sin? Oh, yeah, I lied if I say it wasn't fun, but it's only for a season. Your life, it's only for a moment. You enjoy it today, and then you look back on it and you say, I bought the lie. It's a lie. Christ is the truth. He loves you. He cares for you. He stands with open arms and say, come, come, drink freely. Come, have life. Choose life. Come to me. I'm dealing good with you. I want what's best for you. I want to save you. I want you to know me. I want you to walk with me. There's hope in Jesus, but only wrath apart from him. So my desire, once again, for you and everyone outside of Christ is look to Jesus Christ and lives. And I pray you take that seriously. Man, my brother, he poured his heart out. He told you the truth. He showed you idols that we could have up in our hearts. Come on, that's not just, it's not just to take up 40 minutes of your time. It's because he loves you. I love you. Christ loves you. Look to him and live. May the Lord bless you. Father, Lord, you are the Savior of sinners. Lord, you said, one man plants, another man waters, but you give the increase. Oh, Lord, you know that there are men, women, boys, and girls here that know you not. Lord, I pray that you will remove the veils from their eyes and, Lord, cause them to see. Lord, grant repentance and faith. That them may be born again. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would be merciful. Oh God, you're great, you're mighty, you're enthroned, and you rule and you reign now. Lord, I pray that you would save our children, our spouses, our family members that know you not. Oh God, I plead for your mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would take your very word, your word, Lord, your word, which is spirit and life, and that you would cause it to work good toward those that know you not. Lord, let them see the beauty in Christ Jesus. And I thank you that we can come to you, Lord. For this is the confidence I have in you. That if I ask anything according to your will, Lord, you hear me. And I know if you hear me, Lord, I can look and hope that you would do it. And I know your will is that men not perish. I know you don't take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So, Father, please save sinners, Lord. You sent your son into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Lord, I know on behalf of me and my brothers and sisters here today, our desire is your desire, Lord, that you would save. Lord, you said he that winneth souls is wise. And oh God, how can one win one unless you move upon the hearts of men and women, boys and girls? And so, Lord, I come today. We ask today, Lord, that you would do that. Lord, that we might rejoice as the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner come to repentance. Lord, cause us to rejoice. Lord, cause the baptism pools to be stirred. Lord, I just thank you that we can come to you. Thank you for your love. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.